Morning. We are learning the sugya this morning of the bracha of wine, bracha of grape juice. So the Mishnah tells us on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, the very first Mishnah of Ketz Mevarchin, the line tells us that when it comes to Ketz Mevarchin al peros ha'ilan hu omer bari preitz, when it comes to fruits that grow on tree, you say ha'etz, chutz min ha'yayin, with the exception of yayin, shal ha'yayin hu omer bari pra ha'gefen. As opposed to wine, comes from grapes, of course, the bracha is only bori pri ha'gafen. So the Gemara explains to us on the bottom of Lamed Hamin Beis, goes the whole back and forth of Maishna Yain. Why is Yain unique? And that Yain gets its own bracha. And the Gemara says it's worthwhile to go through the Gemara, the Shach Ratari inside, to appreciate what's going on here. So the Gemara says, Elaim, if you're going to suggest, you know why wine gets its own bracha? Mishum dishtane leluye, because it becomes a better bracha, or you take it from the grapes and you squeeze it into grape juice and into wine, it becomes greater. It's shana lebracha, and therefore the bracha should change as well. If that's the basis for this, hare shemen dishtane leluye, below shana lebracha. When it comes to olive oil, where it changes from olive to olive oil, which is a better product, it should also deserve another bracha. But it does not get its own bracha. Damar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, v'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shemen zayis mevarchan alav bari preitz. Even though Shemen Zayis has become a better product, it still remains the same ha'etz as if it were an olive, as a Shemen Zayis as well. So Gemara says, Amri Hasan there, when it comes to olive oil, Mishum Dilo Efsher, there's no possible way to say a different bracha. Heichi Navich, what bracha would you say? Navich, Bori Pri HaZayis. You say the fruit of the olive. Well, Pire Gufa Zayis Ikri. You can't say a fruit of a fruit. The Zayis itself is the fruit. So how do you say Bori Pri HaZayis, the fruit of the olive? The olive is the fruit. So if you're going to say v'navichalai bari pri eitzais, maybe you could say the fruits of the olive tree. That sounds like an appropriate bracha. And Gemara says, you know what? Maybe that is a bracha that could have been said. And the fact that we don't say such a bracha on olive oil maybe tells us that it's not about the svar of ishtana leluye. So this junction right now in the Gemara is very, very important, very crucial. Because this part, it sounds like we're rejecting the concept of ishtana leluye. It's no longer based on becoming a better product. Ella, it seems like it's taking a completely different angle now. And Marzucha says, and we'll see in the Tziv how he says differently, but according to the Pashas is, Ella Amar Marzucha, Chamer Zayin Mishchalo Zayin. He says very different. When it comes to wine is being able to satiate a person, or give a person some sustenance, and Mishcha, which is a reference to Shemen HaMishcha, oil, is not able to give sustenance to someone. And the Gemara says, "Umishcha lo zayin." Is it really true? It's not. The Gemara goes on to prove this and goes back and forth. And ultimately, Gemara, in the end of the day, says, "You know why wine's unique? It's because it brings simcha to a person. It's mesameach alev." So the way we read that line is, initially, Gemara thought it's about ishtan laluye. It's about the cheftza, the grapes becoming a better product of grape juice. And the end of the Gemara says nothing to do with the product itself. Rather, it's what has to do with the gavra, the person who drinks it, the simcha, the buzz that he feels, the reaction that the person feels from drinking the grape juice and wine. So these are the two deyas in the Gemara, and the conclusion is it's all about simcha. And the question becomes, if you look at Rashi back on the Mishnah, on Lamed Hamin Aleph, the very first Rashi in Ketz Mevarchin, he tells us that Ketz Mevarchin Chutz Min HaYayin Shemitoch Chashivuso, because the Chashivus, Chashivus sounds like it's about the Chefs itself, the object, the grape juice, the grapes themselves, because the chashivus and the chefsa, kavula bracha la'atzma, and therefore it has earned its own bracha, v'chena pas, and the pas also. So what's Rashi doing with v'chena pas? Sounds like extra as well. So number one, it sounds like Rashi's talking about the chashivus of the chefsa, which goes against the conclusion of Gemara. The Gemara said initially, ishtana leluye, it's about the change in the chefsa, but then rejects it to really about simcha. So Rashi goes against this. So the one answer you might want to say is Rashi, many times, Acharon will explain, that Rashi explains the Havamina. He doesn't want to give away the punchline. He wants to work with you to explain the Havamina, the initial understanding of Gemara, but he doesn't want to ruin the punchline for you. So he doesn't tell us Simcha. So when Rashi says Chashivas, that's about Ishtana Leluye, that's only working in the Havamina, but Limaskana, Rashi will agree that it's all about Simcha. That's one approach. Second approach is found in Tosfos Yontif. And the Tosfos Yontif says, he lumps together the two ideas of chashivas and simcha. When we say chashivas, he explains, he doesn't say all this out, but Chashivus is not about the chashivus of the chepsa, but what his language is, shemito chashivuso dichsiv v'yayin yismach. The reason why it's chashiv is because it gives a person this level of simcha. That's what gives it the chashivus, because it brings simcha to a person. So even Rashi on the Mishnah, although he sounds like it's about the chepsa, the chashivus of the chepsa, what he really means is the chashivus and the gavra, that person, it's really about simcha. That's what Rashi means.
Why do you have to go to chepsa gavra there? Why can't you just say that it's simcha that stems from the chepsa? It doesn't have to be a chepsa gavra issue per se.
But it's only, the simcha is the way the person reacts to it.
But that doesn't make it necessarily a gavra din. It's an offshoot of chesed din. It's an offshoot of the actual grape itself. I mean, that's a characteristic of the grape. That's what it does. That's
right.
Effect. So I don't know why that would be necessarily tully on the person.
Because again, it's not simply an offshoot. This is according to the Gemara. The Gemara. This is the ikker. This is unique.
It was simcha alone and not simcha and sa'id.
Simcha and sa'id, both of them, but focus on simcha. But that idea, it's the character, it's a very crucial character, because that's what defines, that gives it its unique bracha. Because it's unique in the ability to be mesameach another person, the effect it has on a gavra, not simply that's an offshoot, that is the primary unique factor that it has. So again, the Tosas Yontem lumped them together. When the Rashi says chashivas, it means a chashivas that leads to simcha. So the difficulty with reading like that is, the Rashi at the end says v'chein b'pas, bread as well. Now bread does not have the element of simcha to it. It does not have the element at all.
It depends how you define simcha, but okay.
But the way the Gemara
is starving, they become hunger fine. Right, but simcha. But I'm just saying when you just
meant bread, but the Rashi, the Gemara itself says simcha does not apply to bread. It does apply to the person. So it sounds like it's really more about it's about the chashivas. In fact, he lumps it together with the pas, with the bread. The bread's about the chashivas. It's the chashivas in the bread. Ishtana laluya, you made the flour into bread. That's certainly about the chefza. So too, by the fact he lumps them together with the wine, which seems to indicate it means chashivas in terms of the chefza, not the chashivas in the reaction of the simcha a person receives.
And nobody lumps together. We didn't discuss the satisfaction of eating, satiated person, and the buzz, that's both a level of gavra, personal satisfaction, feeling better.
Right. So that's a very, very good question. That the Gemara in the end, in Lam Hema Bay, says bread does have a certain impact on a person, that it satiates a person, it satisfies them. That's a very, very good question. The only difficulty is, that's even though the Gemara mentioned that, that's not what the Gemara mentions, why bread is unique, though. That's not why bread deserves its own bracha. Bread deserves its own bracha because it's a better chefza.
It's a better product.
The better product by making from flour into bread. Bread is a very chashiv product. Not because it necessarily satisfies a person, because it's a chashiv product. Because the object itself, the chefz itself, is something chashiv.
And why is not orange juice better than oranges?
Because it has no unique aspect in it. There's nothing unique about orange juice than any other drink or the orange itself. What's unique about wine is that it makes a person simcha that no other product does.
We also had the variable of the Mizbeah.
The variable of the Mizbeah. Right, that was a different, that was Lam Hei, a different discussion.
So we're not allowed to discuss
them. No, you're allowed to, but the Gemara doesn't connect them. I don't see how they're going to be connected. It's a very interesting point to bring up, but I'm not sure if that's going to be relevant to why a bracha, that has to do with the Mizbeah, nothing to do with us. So that's not going to affect the bracha.
Maybe the chashivas of grape juice or wine, grape juice is a different question. The chashivas of wine over orange juice is because of the Mizbeach. We're saying the chashivas of wine over orange juice is the buzz.
Right. Well, that's
not satisfaction of... I mean, I'm confused after hearing this whole thing. Meaning, you can't... And you say a special bracha afterwards, right? Al HaGefen. Is that on satisfaction? Could you supposedly be satisfied? I mean, I'm just throwing all the variables on the table of being satisfied from drinking wine. Are you satisfied from drinking wine? Is that real?
But don't focus on the satisfaction. Focus on the simcha, the buzz.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then why isn't booze, which is grown for years, fermented from grain, special product, gives you the buzz.
Yeah.
Right.
You also have a septic.
Exactly. So that has the buzz to it and all that.
That's what we threw in the Mizbeah.
Right, exactly.
Satisfies.
Right.
Certainly satisfies.
Yeah,
So
right.
So the challenge with that, the Tosafot already discusses why don't we say mizonos on shechar? It comes from barley and hops and stuff. So he explains he has a few different answers. One of the answers is that let's see if we can find this Tosafot. I think it's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Is it? No. Oh,
now,
here it is.
When that question came up, that's why I thought of the Mizrach. You know.
It's not necessarily an Ashtana Le'aluya, even though it's better than a typical drink. It's not necessarily better for the from a wheat perspective or a barley perspective.
Right, that's what one of the answers he says. He says because there's a better, there's a higher level in the barley, in the wheat, whatever you're using for the beer, there's a higher level in that it can be made into bread. So it's not the ultimate goal of what the purpose was. So yes, it gets a very nice product of schnapps or whatever you're making in beer, but it's not going to get to the level of what it can get to. That's one answer. The other answer is because it has to do with drinking, and drinking always is a shackle, which I know you're going to ask, wait a second, then grape juice also. So that has to be figured, I'm not going to deal with that now. And then he says also because the sheikhar, the barley, whatever you're using, it's only flavor, but it's not the actual, as opposed to grape juice and wine, it's really the grape juice that you're squeezing out into a little bit of water. But when it comes to barley, or rather when it comes to beer and other things, I guess there are other additives. I don't know how these things are made. And therefore, the beer, the barley rather, only supplies some of the flavor, but it's not the actual drink that you're drinking. So I don't know how the process works, but that's what Tosafot says.
The booze is the tuffel, and the ikar is the bread of product of barley?
That's what it sounds like, what he's saying. But I don't know how the product, how you make it. The hops, that's, yeah? I don't know. Okay, anyways, what comes out of all this, so Rashi, in the end of the day, in the Mishnah, tells us that it's all about the chashivas, about the chefs itself. If it's about the chefs, ishtani leluye, how does he deal with the Gemara then? The Gemara concludes that's not the reason. The reason why we say a new bracha, unique bracha on Geffen, is because it brings simcha to a person. So the answer is found in the Tziv. The Tziv in Rami Sada, he says, when the Gemara had that turnaround where it said Ela Marzutra, remember it was asking about Ishtani Leluye, and olive oil should also have its own bracha because olive oil changed from a zayis to shemen zayis, it should also deserve its own bracha. And where it says no, to deal with the olive oil, you have to get into the discussion of simcha versus not simcha. That discussion was only to help neutralize the question of shemen zayis. But the ikar reason of Ishtani Leluye was still the ikar reason. That was still the conclusion. That whole second half of the discussion was simply just to neutralize olive oil. And therefore, the Maskana, the Tziv says, he doesn't bring the Diyak from Rashi, but I brought the Diyak from Rashi. I think that's what Rashi means. The Tziv says, the Maskana, the Svar is Ishtani Leluye. It's all about the Chefta being a better product. Grape juice, wine is a better product than the grapes themselves.
And olive oil is not.
Olive oil isn't. It is, but since it does not have an additional factor of Simcha, it gets neutralized. So Simcha is still a relevant factor when it comes to wine and grape juice, but it's not the ikar reason, it's a secondary reason, says the Nitziv. And this is very important, we'll see nafkaminas in just a moment.
So does that typically hold true when we have an Ella?
Good point. Whenever, this is a very important methodological point. Whenever there's a Havamina, a Kamashmalan, which is a little more obvious sometimes, the Gemara makes a certain assumption, Havamina, Hamau the same, I would have thought, A, Kamashmalan, something different. So is that Kamashmalan coming to say A was completely wrong, rejected entirely, or we have to still maintain A, but we're tweaking it a little bit? Anytime there's a Kasha and then there's an answer of an Ella, you have to always ask the question. Usually Ella is like a complete rejection of the previous. That's a Pasha, it completely rejects the previous understanding. But sometimes Ella could still be maintaining the first one and just trying to rehabilitate it in a certain way where it's understandable and tweaked. That's a very important methodological question in general. It's certainly true when it comes to how the same as in Kamash Malans, you almost always find the Machok Rishonim, are we rejecting the Havamina entirely, or we're just tweaking it a little bit? Okay, now you also find this, by the way, in the Ritva. The Ritva in the Mishnah also says, a very important point to keep in mind, he also learns like Rashi, I don't have it in front of me, is there a Ritva? Anyway, mind if I just take a quick look? Because the Ritva writes, he says, "Chutz min ha'yayin shal ha'yayin omer bori pir ha'gafen perish mishum d'ishtana le'aluye v'koveh bracha l'atzmo." So with Rashi, he says about chashivas. So you can still interpret chashivas to be simcha. When it comes to the Ritva, there's no interpreting. He's clear that he's going with the havamina n'ishtana le'aluye. So very important to keep in mind that Ritva thinks it's about a din in the chefza, ishtana le'aluye, and that's very important for later nafkamina we'll see momentarily. Okay. So let's go weiter now. So the Gemara, we added to discussion, the Gemara Baba Basra, we saw the Tosos there brings two opinions when it comes to Yain Mevushel. Do you want your notes, by the way, here? Yain Mevushel, no, you're not writing notes? Okay. You should get writing the notes.
The notes are on the front. I was okay. Following what I wrote.
So you have to follow. So the Tosos in Baba Basra records a Machlokas. I'm going to get one over here. Sorry for running around.
Yeah.
So the Tosafot Baba Basra Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that there's a debate what the halacha is when it comes to cooked wine. So the Gemara says, rather the Tosafot initially says that one should not say hagafen on cooked wine, but he brings a raya from the Yushalmi in Shkalim and also the Yushalmi in Ari Psachim that cooked wine is considered yayin gamur. And one's allowed to say Yotze the Arbakosis on Pesach with cooked wine. So therefore we see you can be Mekadesh and you say Hagafen on Yain Mevushel. Then he quotes from Rashi, very important to note that it's Rashi. He says that Yain Mevushel you only say a Shehako because the Shanili Gruyosa, because by cooking the wine it is going to degrade the value of the wine. So that's Machlokas. Do you say a Hagafen on cooked wine or not?
Why did we bring this up?
Yeah. You tell me? How does this connect to what we were just discussing?
So if the chashivas of Yayin is telling, sir.
Because four cups for Pesach, then you have to say Agafen for the bracha.
Right, you have to say Agafen for the bracha, but how does this connect to our discussion? Now, that's what he says. And the fact that you could use it for four kosos tells us that for sure you say Agafen. Fine. But how does it connect to our discussion we've been having? What's the relevance, you asked?
If the chashivas of Yayin is tied to the simcha, then it shouldn't matter whether it's cooked or not cooked.
Exactly,
but you see that there is machlokas in whether it's a shahakal or it's a guffin, so therefore it may not be tied to whether it's an iluya or a grua.
Ah, exactly. Hear this?
No.
Rashi, what was Rashi's understanding of why bracha is unique? What was his svara? They said in the Mishnah? It's chashiv. It's about the chefta being chashiv. Ishana leluya. When Tosfos quotes Rashi, why you don't say Hagafen on Yayin Mevushel, his language is because when you cook it, it's Ishana Legriusa. It's downgrading it. Because Rashi is all about the Chefs of the Chashivas.
It's like the grain and the bread.
Well, that's why exactly.
It's not his best product.
Exactly. And if you speak to any wine connoisseur,
right.
cooked wine is a word.
So, some good ones.
Well, there might be some good ones, but if you go to a typical wine, I don't think there are there any non-Jewish... They'll never cook a non-Jewish wine. Never.
Never.
It's an unnecessary process. It's pointless, and it downgrades it. So objectively, it's considered ishtani legruyusa. The chefza is worse by cooking it. So Rashi, who's all about the chefza, he says, you say hashako when you cook it. It worsens the chefza. But if you assume it's about simcha,
it's still
going to get the buzz.
Right.
You still get that
so
same simcha.
Proof that Rashi holds that it's the chashivas and not the buzz?
Exactly. It's a shitasa, we call it. The shitasa means he goes according to his shita.
Right.
It works out very nicely. Rashi, the Mishnah, and Bracho says it's about the chashivas, the chepsa.
Right.
And here, you cook it, it's also about the chashivas. Since there's no longer chashivas, it's downgraded and there is no longer a guffin. But if you assume, like Toso says, that you still say hagafen even when it's cooked, because he is assuming like the pashas of the Gemara, it's all about simcha.
And what's this Yerushalmi?
It's just a proof. It's proof that you still say Hagafen. The Yushami says you could be Yotze Dalakosis with Yayin Mevushel. The fact that you could be Yotze tells us that you have to say Hagafen on Yayin Mevushel as well.
And do we hold by that?
We hold by that, yes. We do. L'chachila, some might be makbid to only use uncooked wine as a chumra, but certainly one would be Yotze the mitzvah.
What does Rashi say?
Rashi's still holding right. You say Bar Pei Hagafen just because it's chashivas.
But if it gets cooked, he thinks it's no longer chashiv anymore.
Ah.
And you would say shakal, because as he said, Ligriusa downgrades
it. And he was the wine dealer, right?
He's the wine dealer.
He's the wine dealer, exactly. He's the wine dealer. He knew the stuff.
And he would say today, you can't use it for your seder.
That's what he probably would say, yes.
Although that process has changed, so maybe yes, maybe no.
That could be whether we talk about the same thing that they think back then.
Right.
Right.
You mean the cooking process?
Cooking process of wine has evolved, yeah.
There is an interesting sheet on the Rush. The Rush holds that cooking wine actually makes it into a better product. So that gets things a little bit.
And is this
crazy.
Cooking only for the Avodah Zarah thing?
Is that
the only reason why we do it?
That's the only reason why we do it, yeah.
Because they would never do it?
Yeah.
Which proves that it would be really Ligriosa.
Right. Yeah. It's.
What's Legree also again?
It downgrades it.
The product. They would never do it. It's because they don't want to ruin their product. Right.
So why do we do it again? How would you explain why we do it?
Why we do it? Because there's a halacha of Yai Nesach and Stam Yinam. There's an Issa Deraisa. If they take wine, a guy takes wine and pours it for their Avodah Zarah, it's Asim Deraisa to drink.
Okay.
The discussion whether that's considered Avodah Zarah or not Avodah Zarah, but that's Asir for you to drink. The Chachamim later on were goes there, they made a decree that you can't even have Stam Yinam, which Stam means without any thought, any wine that they were to touch, that open bottle, they may have shook it a little bit, that's Asir, lest they may have actually used it for Avodah Zarah.
Okay.
So Stam Yinam is Asir Midrabanan. Any open bottle of wine that they touched would be a problem.
So there's
drinking.
Less chance
even
of
today,
touching
that,
right.
In case of a restaurant.
Even today.
You go to a restaurant, you better make sure it's
exactly.
closed, because you don't know if they're Jewish.
Exactly.
They
but if
it,
so there's
right.
less chance
no, no, no.
that they would
not
bother
chance.
With it if
not
it's cooked.
No, so you say, the Gemara says, since Yayin is Mavushal, if it's Yayin Mavushal, they wouldn't use Yayin Mavushal for their Avodah Zarah. Yayin Mavushal is Legrusa, that's downgraded. It's a very inferior type of wine. They wouldn't use it. So therefore, since they wouldn't use it, there's no problem if they were to touch an open bottle of Yayin Mavushal. That's the basis.
It increases the chance of them touching it.
No, no, not it's okay. No, there's no gzera. They wouldn't use it. They would
eliminates
not use it at all.
Chance.
Exactly. Eliminates the chance. So no, if they touch it, it's okay. They're allowed to touch it. It eliminates the chance of them actually using it for Avodah Zarah. They would never use it for Avodah Zarah.
Really?
Yeah. Fine.
And how do we settle that?
Fine. We'll get, that's a different topic. We'll get to the topic. Let's go by turn this. It's a different topic, though.
If their service is more chashuv than ours...
We'll get back. I'll explain that afterwards. Mirz Hashem. Let's go weiter in the bracha and wine though. So now this discussion, this gets into discussion now of grape juice. Because grape juice, I know a lot of you were discussing while you were preparing, grape juice does not have the factor of simcha at all. So the fact that we see a gafan on grape juice sounds like it's probably about chashivas, because when you squeeze it out of the grapes, it becomes grape juice, and the Gemara Paskins, Gemara here in Bava Basra, and the Rashba says this, that when you're soched eshkel, if you squeeze a grape juice, grapes, and you create grape juice, you could say hagafen right away. There's no fermenting necessarily. So I remember Rav Shechter says, a person, let's get stuck. He's driving close to Shabbos, and somehow gets stuck in traffic. He needs to pull over. He doesn't drive in Shabbos, goes to the closed motel, goes to the local grocery, buys grapes, and just squeeze the grapes, and that's your grape juice for Shabbos. There's no problem with that. Don't squeeze it on Shabbos. That's an issue of the rice of squeezing on Shabbos. But squeeze it before Shabbos, and you have grape juice. You imagine that squeezing grapes and whatever you get into the cup, that's going to be your grape juice? Yeah, that's what the Gemara Paskin's like. So I understand if it's Shtani Le'aluya, you're making a better product by squeezing it out, but there's certainly no element of simcha when you're drinking the grape juice.
No.
So what's the explanation? How do you say hagafen and grape juice? So what Shlomo Zalman says, among many other achronim, is that since
it
had,
yeah. Problem? You're working within the tzad of simcha? How it would work? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. There's no simcha with grape juice. It might be a very nice drink. I like to drink grape juice sometimes. It's no different than apple juice or oranges.
Isn't simcha itself an offshoot of an Ishtani Leluya?
No, only if you assume like Tosas Yom Tov. But the Pashas is, it's a completely different track. That's why I wanted to do Chepta Gavra. It really splits it up that way. Makes it easier to understand. Even though it's not necessarily a purely Gavra case, but it's really the impact it has on the Gavra. Grape juice has no impact on me. It's just some sugar, nice sweet taste, like apple juice, orange juice, or any other fruit juice. So if there's no simcha, so why would I say hagafen on grape juice? So what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains, among other achronim, is that since it has the potential
one
to ferment, yeah.
The fact that you're going back to achronim, does that mean that it's only a recent phenomenon and the Rishonim didn't allow it?
No. There are a lot
were
of things.
They never used to do it?
No. The Gemara says they did it. The Rishonim don't explain every single case or every single
that's
question.
The only reason.
That's the only reason, yeah. So Rav Shlomo Zalman explains that since grape juice has the potential to ferment and turn into wine, and then that wine will give you that simcha, will give you that buzz, that's enough of a reason to say a hagafen on grape juice, because the potential that exists. That's what all the achronim explain.
And what about anything else that ferments?
For the here and now, and
that's a pretty simple answer.
Right.
We judge
right.
things for the here and now.
What about raisins?
Sounds like a Beishamay's Hillel. Must look
at Beishamay's Hillel.
And raisins? What do you say on raisins when it turns into wine? They allow that, right?
Raisins also does qualify as wine, yeah.
Raisins, what am I thinking? Isn't there something else?
They have raisin wine, I think.
Right, but that was once grapes, that's in the same family.
Yeah.
Isn't there something else that ferments?
Everything ferments. It depends
that,
what. Apple cider.
Buzz?
That gives you a buzz? I don't know.
Apple cider,
right. Apple cider
yeah.
does ferment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why
a lot of these things,
apples?
So.
It has the potential to ferment, to make you happy.
Right.
It's the strength of it. It's about a third. Like you're going like 5% versus 14. That's
the difference. Yeah, the amount of alcohol. I don't know.
You just told me because grape juice has the potential to be booze. Right. You just said apples.
But that's what we explained before. Just no different than beer and the other stuff. Those things are not considered the best product of those foods. So too, when it comes to apple cider, apple's the real fruit. The apple juice and apple cider, those are, you know, nice things that can be created from them, but not the ikar fruit. Okay, so now the question becomes, Rosh Hashanah gets into another discussion, what if you pasteurize the grape juice, which all our grape juice is, it's not able to ferment anymore. If you let it ferment, it's going to just spoil. Uh-huh. It's not going to turn into wine. So no, the potential no longer exists. So it's brought down the name of Rav Yashiv. Shalmei Nissen, Rav Nissen Kaplan, who gives a shir in the mirror, he has a beautiful sefer called Shalmei Nissen and Brachos. He brings down the name of Eliyashiv, and others also bring down the name of Eliyashiv. Taka, you don't say Hagafen, unpasteurized grape juice. You know, there's Kedem.
All modern day grape juice.
That's what he finds. All modern day grape juice, he says, one should not say Hagafen. Now, we don't paskin this way. Most don't.
It's
so right. I'm not sure. Rav Shlomo Zalman said otherwise. Rav Shlomo Zalman thought, since at one point in the history of this grape juice, it had the ability to, and even though later they changed that, they pasteurized it, they cooked it, whatever they did to it, that doesn't going to change it. Once it had the brach of Hagafen, it's not going to change. And that's how he explained how we do say Hagafen on grape juice. Now, one could certainly be machmor and avoid having grape juice if they want. But if one does have the grape juice, you could certainly say Hagafen. That's the minog, like Rosh Hashanah Zaman.
And what's the original source of saying Borei Pri Hagafen on something?
The Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that.
The one we read.
The one we read, exactly. Okay, let's go to, yeah. Mishnah gets it from. That's a whole discussion. Why the Gemara asks, why does the Hagafen, why does wine get its own unique bracha? That's a whole discussion we're having. Ishtani Leluye versus Simcha.
No, I mean, it doesn't have, it has to go back to the Raisa somewhere written in the Torah.
No.
That's why I thought it had to do with the services in the Beis Hamikdash or something.
No.
Because that I could imagine being in the Torah.
Yeah, not everything we have is from the Torah. A lot of the stuff we have, the Chum, the Nusach, we have. Yeah. What? Okay, let's go to one more nafkamina. What time is davening today?
50.
Okay. Let's do one more nafkamina, and then we'll wrap up this sugya for today, and I think we'll pick up a new sugya next week. If you go to the Gemara and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we saw this tosos when we did the first year. This is a very jam-packed tosos here. We did this tosos when it came to the bracha of Birchas Hanenin, what the halacha is, if it's Safek bracha, you're not sure if you said the bracha or not, do you have Yud Beis Amud Aleph? Safek bracha l'hakel, we said. You'd base them on Aleph if you look at Tosos Dira Maschil Lo. So the Gemara there was discussing about the halacha of a suffix. What do you do for a suffix brachos? So Tosos writes there, Uperish Rav Afasi, this is Dira Maschil Lo Lasu Nehema, Uperish Rav Afas, the riff that is, Hashtad Dilo Ifshite Bein, now that the Gemara never answered the Shaila, as Lidan Lakula, we go base Lakula. Vafilu Pesach Bechamra Vesayim Beshichra Yata. Even if you start off with one way and you conclude a different way, you go to say the bracha. So the Rif Paskin Lakula. Comes along the Ri in Tosos. Ri Haya Omer L'chumra. He says, no, one should be Machmir, Ditzarach Levarach Pamacher. So you have to say another bracha. If you're not sure, if you said the right bracha, you have to repeat it. Tzafik Brachos Lahachmir, he says. And we discussed how could that be. In general, we always say Tzafik Brachos Lahachmir. How come here suddenly by Birchas Hanenin we say Tzafik Brachos Lahachmir? So Rikiv Yeger has this whole discussion here that when it comes to Birchas Hanenin, Birchas Hanenin is unique. That there's an Isser involved. Remember we said it's Birchas Hanenin and Shevach Voda, or is it really a Matir and Isser? And since it's Matir and Isser, one should be Machmir and have to repeat the Bracha in the case of Suffolk. That's what we saw at Tosfos in the first year that we did. But then he goes on to say, Mihu haya omer Rabbeinu Chananel, im haya yodea b'beiru shita b'diburo shomer bori priha eitz, tachas priha gefen. Let's say you said ha'eitz instead of bori priha gefen. You could be chozer. So if I said Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Ha'etz, whoops, Borei Pri Hagafen, I'm yotze. But if I said Ha'etz, I would not be yotze. The bracha Ha'etz does not work for Hagafen. That's Tosos' assumption. So what's Rabbi Kivager right there?
How do we know that he's doing it and not talking about Lahatkila and Bidiyavid over there?
Because that's what he says. He says if a person said that this way Ha'etz, it doesn't work. If he said that way. So Rabbi Kiv Eiger there writes, Rabbi Kiv Eiger writes here, it's mashma from Tosos here, right? It's produced to Rabbi Kiv Eiger, it's mashma from Tosos. It sounds like if you said ha'etz on grape juice or wine, you wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah. V'chein kasev v'magin Avram. Simin reish ches, siv katan chav beiz, b'shem tshuvetz ri, halevi. V'tmuli, says Rabbi Kivega, I don't understand this, how could that be true? How could the magin Avram say this? The ha'yayin shem prialav, yayin is a type of fruit, borei pri ha'gafen, the product of the tree. The ha'mivarchin borei pri ha'gafen. V'imkein shapir mivarcha borei pri ha'etz. If a person said ha'etz, b'dievid, you should be yotzei. He should have been a little bit more clear and more specific, but hagafen. If I say shakol and anything else, it works. Because it's the whole pyramid here. Remember, we learned this in elementary school, there's a pyramid. Shakol is the most expansive bracha. Then you get more specific to hadama, and then you ha'etz, and hagafen. Forget hamotzi mazonos for now. But it builds up this whole triangle. But anything below that, it covers everything above that. So shakol covers everything. Adama covers everything that grows from the ground. Things that don't go from the ground, like meat and cheese, are not included. But anything that grows from the ground is adama. Eitz is more specific. It's fruit trees. So if I say ha'etz on any fruit trees, and include that as agafen, it would work also. So how could Tosfos say, or imply, that ha'etz won't work for agafen? Agafen is just a very specific type of fruit tree. That's the question Rabbi Kivega asks. It's no different than shakol ni'abidvaro. So therefore, he concludes, Rabbi Kivega, that one can be yotze ha'etz on hagafen b'di'evit, not l'chachila, b'di'evit. If you said ha'etz on grape juice or wine, you would be yotze, while Tosfos and Magen Avraham say one's not yotze. So what do you think his machlok is about?
Is Tosfos saying ha'etz no, shakol yes?
Yeah, shakol, everybody agrees. Shakol is clear. It works in any type of food.
So how is Tosfos coming up? You're not covering, you're not catching yourself. Ah, there's nothing to fall back on. But if you say that it's a din in the actual God, then you have...
Exactly, that's the answer, I think. The answer is that if the reason why Hagafen is its unique bracha is because of the Simcha is completely unique. It's not part of the pyramid at all. It's not how it grows, how you develop, how you create it.
Simcha really still is an Ishtanel Aluyah.
If you assume like Tosfos Yantav says, but if you assume that two different things, completely two different things.
But it's a big chiddush to say that. Why come to that? You end up in a Nafkamina like this.
No, because, well, first of all, that's how you explain, they end up being Nafkamina. How do you explain the Nafkamina?
What came first? But I'm saying, like, you're
here. So there, we saw a few, and this is already the third nafkamina that we're seeing. So we see it's clear that there are two independent approaches. So if you assume again, ishtane, let's go the other way. If you assume ishtane le'aluye, like Rashi says, that hagafen, wine, grape juice is a better product, you're just taking that which goes from the ground to a tree, to hagafen, it's part of this pyramid that you're building up on. So ha'etz, it's all about the chefza, it's still shayach. All bracha is about the chefza. It's still shaykh to say ha'etz on hagafen. It's just a very specific, on grape juice. Hagafen is just a more specific type of bracha, but they're still in the same line of thinking. But once you say the reason why you say hagafen on wine or grape juice is because the simcha that it gives the gavra, completely different type of bracha. Completely different. It doesn't fit into this chain. And therefore, it's not shaykh at all to say ha'etz on grape juice or wine. And that might be where Tosfos is coming from. As opposed to shakel, shakel works in anything because shakel is just a very generic bracha. Hagafen is Hagafen is so specific to wine because the simcha that it gives, ha'etz is not able to work as a substitute for it.
You literally have created an entirely new category of brachas for this specific product.
Exactly. Hagafen is completely different. It does not fit into the chain.
What do you do with brachas? No, Rishon, nothing.
So once you said that, how
does shakal work? Shakal is not about simcha at all. Shakal is just a very generic bracha. And just like adama works for her fruit trees.
It's not about simcha. The whole point of yayin is simcha. Once it leaves the group, doesn't it leave the group?
Ah, so you're saying how shakol work on yain? Very good question. Very good question. So in general, there's a big discussion about shakol. Shakol might also be unique. The shakol is not what I said as a pyramid either. Shakol is a unique bracha that covers everything. Meaning, you might be able to say shakol and things are not even food. Yeah. So we see shakol is not even a
language. Is just anything that was
exactly anything. Anything in the world. And therefore, shakel is not part of the pyramid. Shakel is a completely different bracha. It's just like the default bracha for anything you want.
Doesn't have the word
pre in
it.
So not food, just anything. Doesn't have the word pre in it. Right. Therefore, it's... Exactly. So shakel is a whole other discussion, but you're right. That's a whole hakira, whether it's just a generic birchas hananim or just a generic bracha. For anything ever, you need to say bracha, you just say shakel on it. So that's... If you assume that the reason why you simcha, it's about simcha, and therefore yayin's unique... So you have to explain also probably shakol is about a just the bracha.
So broad it covers
simcha. Exactly. Okay, so let's just recap now what we saw. We saw there's a machlokas, the Gemara itself, whether the reason for the gafen is ishani leluye, it's about a chashivas and the actual chefta, or it's, as the Gemara seems to conclude, about simcha, about the gavra. And we saw there's a machlokas, we shown him, oh, by the way, I want to add one point on this thing. The Ritva, in the Mishnah, we saw the Ritva, remember in the beginning, how did he assume, why do we say a bracha on hagafen, what was the reason? He wrote in the Mishnah, ishani leluye. He said it's all about the chefta. So that being the case, what do you think he would assume by this discussion of ha'etz? Will ha'etz work for grape juice or will it not work for grape juice, based on what we're saying? It should work. So Ritva Taka writes on the Mishnah, where did this go? I had it somewhere here. He writes it somewhere here. I don't know where this is. But he writes somewhere that ha'etz works on hagafen. Why? Because it's l'shitasa, like he writes in the Mishnah, like Rashi, ishtane l'aluyev. So it's all about the chefza, so then ha'etz will work on grape juice. Fine. So back to the recap. So we have now a machlokes, again, had a paskim. Rashi says it's all about the chashivas. Ritva says it's all about the chashivas. The chefza, that's why grape juice is unique. As opposed to the pashas of the Gemara, it's all about the simcha and the gavra. We said that the first afkamin is when it comes to yayin mevushal. Comes the Yain Mevushal, the Simcha is still there, but the Ishani Leluya is no longer there. As Rashi says, it's Ishani Ligriyusa. It's downgrading it. So Rashi's Lashitasa that he says Yain Mevushal, you only say a Shahakal in Yain Mevushal because you've downgraded the Chefza. As opposed to Tosim, Babasa says, no, it still deserves Hagafa in Yain Mevushal. And the reason we explained was because there's still Simcha. It still gives you that buzz when you drink Yain Mevushal. The second afkamina was what about grape juice that's been pasteurized? It no longer has the ability to have Simcha. Everybody agrees on pasteurized grape juice, you say hagafen, either because it's ishani leluye or because it has the potential for simcha, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman says. But if you assume it's pasteurized, if you say it's pasteurized and no longer has the potential to become simcha, so then Rav Yashiv says you no longer could say hagafen on it because it can't be simcha. But if you assume it's about ishani leluye, but the pasteurized doesn't really change anything, the chefza is still chashiv chefza, even though it's been pasteurized, it doesn't have the ability anymore. And the third and final nafkamina was, can a person say ha'etz? Can you substitute ha'etz for the grape juice? And that we said is the same machlokas. If you assume it's about simcha, so then hagafen is a complete unique type of bracha, and ha'etz cannot substitute that type of bracha. But if you assume the reason why hagafen is unique is because it's a chefza, it's a shani l'luye, it's a better chefza, then ha'etz, the chora, should work to substitute for hagafen as well.
And what should we hold?
Which we hold. We paskin, it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, we assume, I think, that if you do say ha'etz, you are yote b'dieved. I believe that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskin is like. Yishkoyach, next week I think we're going to do the bracha on Shem and Zayas.
But are you better off saying shahakol? That's more